This is Scott Becker with the Becker Business Podcast. Today, I get the pleasure to talk to Robin Billups. Robin is who I turn to for inspiration and motivation, who is a bright, shining light in sometimes a challenging world. We've asked Robin today to talk about, and Robin's a brilliant business person as well as counselor and connector. Robin, tell us how to stay motivated and inspired in a challenging world. You've got me on the podcast interviewing you. We've got a producer who is a young, aspiring college graduate. How do we stay motivated and engaged and excited in a challenging world?
I think the motivation comes from inside. You know, you have to, you can't, I always say you can't look at it with your own eyes. It'll make you crazy. Right. So I believe in a couple of things. One, you have to depend on yourself and have to build yourself up. And in doing that, that means you have to maintain a spiritual life. And I'm not telling anybody any particular religion, but get in touch with your spirit. Understand that you are a human being and you were made to survive. Be persistent in your drive and your goals. And be concerned about who you bring close to the breast. You know, I always used to tell my kids, what and who you bring close to the breast is what and who you're going to be. Because again, when you stay connected to the right people, they will push you. They will know, they can hear, tell by your voice when you're down. And so, and tell by your voice when you're happy. So you need to be connected to people who care. You need to be empathetic and you need to share. You need to not be an island unto yourself. Whatever you're going through, somebody else has gone through it before. And I always say, every day you get a new hand to play, and every night the cards are shuffled, and in the morning you get a new hand. So what you thought was a crisis yesterday got moved out because something else showed up. And then finally, I think that you have to find the things that get you motivated. Music motivates me. Music is my sanctuary. Music is my life. And I have specific songs that will touch me, especially Negro spirituals, and you know, they say gospel music, but I like spirituals because those were the songs that my ancestors sang in order to continue to be human beings when they were not treated as human beings. And then finally, too, find those mantras. You know, on my signature, it says confidence comes from being the best that you can, not from being perfect. And part of that says 80% equals 100% because we all have a 20% pile to work on. So we all have something that we need to work on every day, but we have to stay motivated in order to do that. And you do get to have a pity party. You know, you get to have a pity party for a few minutes, but then you have to shake it off and say, okay, what can I do? Well, how can I change? Who can I reach out to that can help me move forward? And I think that life is difficult. It's not for the faint of heart. You know, it's not for the faint of heart. However, I look forward to it every day. Every day.
And talk a little bit about this concept of you start with a new deck every morning, mm-hmm. you go to bed and you get to start over the next day. I love that concept. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you build mm-hmm. relationships along the way, you've been watching stuff, but you're having a bad day. Today's a new day. And how do you keep yourself as positive as you keep yourself? You've been through a lot in life, a lot of positives, a lot of setbacks, a lot of challenges. You know, some of those based on race and other issues. How do you keep yourself constantly sort of so visionary and so positive, Robin? I mean, I look forward to talking to you all the time. How do you keep yourself in that spirit?
Well, you know, Scott, I've known myself for real since I was about 10 years old, and I came to the Lord when I was 10, and I learned this word about being nevertheless. Nevertheless, something is going to work out. And I look at my family and I look at my history, and my mother's mother died in childbirth on Valentine's Day, 93 years ago. And my mother raised 6 children. You know, she was still able to survive. And the reason why is because you just have to keep pushing forward. You know, I tell folks who are suffering, you know, you can't make an appointment with God. You can't tell him, okay, I'm ready to go. He doesn't work like that. You know, you're not leaving here until it's your time. And so as what they talk about, that dash between the time you were born and the time that you transpire, what are you doing with that dash? That is so critically important. And I think that a huge part of it for me has always been, I will ask questions and I will impinge myself upon folks to say, I need your help. I need to hear from you. I need your insight. And I'm willing to share that back. You know, as a consultant, folks will tell me all the time, well, Robin, you know, you just give away so much. Don't tell the Lord how to bless me. And that's my line. Don't tell the Lord how to bless me. If the Lord is telling me to give this to you, I'm going to give it to you and it will be returned. And I'm not expecting you to be the rewarder. My friend Maria Meisinger, she's Hungarian. She's married to a German, and we met many, many years ago. And she always used to tell me when I start complaining, she goes, Robin, now what do I always say? You will get your reward in heaven. So stop expecting it. Stop expecting to win. Just make the win happen. And if it doesn't happen, I call it a lesson experience. You learn a lesson from it, and you know, okay, I'm not going to do that again. It's just like with a little kid. You slap one hand or you know, with my grandchildren, I'll just say, ah, and they're like, and they look at me like I'm crazy, but they know that you're doing something you're not supposed to be doing. And I'm not going to keep reminding you of that, because every time you walk to it, you're going to remember that I'm going to say, ah, you know, that type of thing. So you just have to find those things that work for you. Everybody was sent here with all that they need to be decent, good people. The sidetracking happens because you get some other training and you're influenced by folks who are negative. And so, you know, part of what we're suffering through right now, Scott, is nobody wants to talk about racism. You know, this is Black History Month and folks are probably sick of hearing about all of these first this and first that. Well, nobody told the history and now the history is coming out. You know, these young people, I'll say this. Vince Gill, the country western singer, wrote a song about a week ago, and it's called March On. I haven't heard the whole song, but I heard a tidbit of it. And basically what he's saying is trying to induce people. He's receiving the fact that our history says that we've mistreated part of our human family. And he wrote this song as a motivator for the country western industry to be more open and receiving of other individuals that don't necessarily look like them. So again, yeah, every night that deck is reshuffled and every morning you get a new hand to play. So every day we get a new chance to get it better, to do it right, to correct and to win.
Isn't that a fantastic attitude? And I love the reference to the country singer. Didn't see it coming, but I think it's a fantastic reference. And I love your comments on Black History Month, because the concept of being able to tell the history again and tell it more clearly is a magnificent thing. You know, and your point is so well taken. You do get to, they're like, oh my God, I've heard enough of this Black History Month already.
Yeah.
But it's so important. It's so important on so many levels to do it without virtue signaling, with really just celebrating Black Americans and Black history, just to celebrate it. Not to say like, I'm this or I'm that, but just to celebrate. Yeah. This is greatness amongst us and we all deserve celebration.
Well, and Scott, too, you know, historically, those accolades were not paid. You know, these were the people who were we've been the backbone and the empathy and the spirit of this country, of this continent. And I look at being from St. Louis, you know, Alpha Kappa Alpha sorority. You're hearing more about the Divine Nine fraternities and sororities. Well, those were started because we were not allowed to be in the majority fraternities and sororities. And these things started in the early 1900s. My sorority was started in 1908. And look who's in the White House. An Alpha Kappa Alpha member, Kamala Harris. You know, and so because she's in the White House, now people are more open to, oh, that's what that is. You know, that type of thing. I was just listening to on Trevor Noah. There's a young African-American female who became the president of American University. She said she was walking across campus with her AKA jacket on. And then she said she had never experienced racism until she won that election. And now she's been haunted and you know, they were hanging noose in all of these things. And what is it? What makes people afraid to be receptive to somebody whose skin is a little bit darker than theirs? I don't get that. I really don't get that. It just, you know, when I think about the fact that Black women have taken care of the world And we're finally starting to have open our voices. And I'm a middle kid, so I'm always going to talk. And I'm always, I got something to say and I got questions to ask. And I'm willing to learn, but I'm also willing to share and willing to direct. And you can't be scared. You just can't be scared.
No, I think your points are well taken. It's so fascinating, too, when people say, like, you know, why are they all in their own sororities and fraternities? Mm-hmm. The answer is because Blacks, Jews, others weren't allowed in the other fraternities. That's how this all developed, of course. You know, why did this happen? Because they weren't allowed in the other ones. This is how that's why you ended up with these separate fraternities and sororities, 100%.
I got a great story. When I went to University of Missouri, my roommate next door, Marcia Tannenbaum, Marcia could not wait to go to the sorority rushes. And when she came back in tears, she goes, Robin, she was Jewish. She goes, Robin, they won't even allow. They won't even accept me. You know, she wanted to be in some of the bigger ones, the tri-delts and the, you know, I learned all this stuff when I got to Missouri. And and she was like, and I was like, well, Marcia, if they won't let you in, you know they won't let us in. You know?
Oh, no, and that's exactly right. That's exactly right. And they want to be in the most prestigious this, most prestigious that. And you know, they just it wasn't permitted unless you had this whole separate system developed of Jewish fraternities and sororities, Blacks fraternities and sororities, 100%. Yeah. And it became very great points of pride amongst the Black and Jewish students at these colleges that they competed well with the other sororities and fraternities. It's a fascinating part of America.
Service. See, that's one of the things that when you pledge a Black fraternity or sorority, the Divine Nine, you are a service organization. So once you pledge, it's not over once you leave college, which is what I see with the white fraternities and sororities. A lot of times, like, that's just kind of over. Well, with us, it's a life skill of service. It's a lifetime of service. And when you went as me, Alpha Kappa Alpha, when you pass away, you're an ivy beyond the wall, you know, but the ivy, you know, pushing the claws of earth aside, you know, it's how the poem starts. Right. And so the one other thing I want to say, the one last thing I want to say is this, the Negro spiritual, lift every voice and sing. Take the time to look at the words of that song. If America wants to figure out how to balance some of this stuff out, start looking at, listening to, and appreciating the words of these songs and the times that they were written and what folks who wrote those songs and these poems and what have you, what they were going through. You know, when we looked at the inauguration and we see this little spitfire 20-something-year-old female who is speaking to the world about the possibilities. You know, I'm so excited about where this is all going to go, because I think that thanks to the graces of the world and folks in her generation, they're not turning back. They are very inclusive and they're not turning back. And folks are looking for parity amongst, you know, not only just in work, but in play and in life. And so I think that we're on the cusp of something wonderful. And that's the reason why we have a pandemic. And that's the reason why we got, you know, climate change and, you know, these world things that are going on across the world. There are some rebirth that has to happen because we pushed the envelope too far in separating ourselves. And he's going to force us to come back to each other in order to build a future for our next generation. I believe that. I truly believe that.
I want to thank you, Robin, for joining us as always. You always make my day and help me sort of like reframe and look at things and just totally inspiring. Robin Billups, The Connector, find her on LinkedIn, find her every place. Robin Billups, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.